reading of the word. I'm going to read from Psalm 66. Shout with joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Praise our God, O people. Let the sound of his praise be heard. So let the sound of our singing and our praising him be heard outside of these doors today. Maybe as someone's walking by, they'll be like, what's going on in there? Well, they're worshiping God. So lift up your voices today as we worship him together.
There's a land that is fair and fair, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father went over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. It's a sweet way by, we will be all that we restore. It's a sweet way
on an awesome note like that. You may be seated this morning, and we want to welcome you to Columbia United Methodist Church. And I know we have some first-time visitors with us this morning, and we want to welcome you. There is a yellow card in your pew if you would like to fill out that information, and you can drop that in the offering plate in the back. That way we can give you information of upcoming events here. So if visiting this morning, we welcome you. If you're watching online this morning, we welcome you also and are glad that you're able to join us for our time together. Happy October! It is hard to believe, but it is October, and so happy October, everybody. And with that means that we have some upcoming events. Coming up here in a few weeks, we'll have our Trunk or Treat event on October the 23rd, right after the service. And so if you want to be a part of that event, basically you just kind of decorate your car, and then we'll have kids come on through. And last year, I think we had well over 100 kids from the community come through for Trunk or Treat. You can, if you don't want to decorate your car, come and hang out, donate candy to the cause. It's a great time. We'll also be giving out free hot dogs that day also for individuals in the community. So mark that date down, October the 23rd, Trunk or Treat, right after the service. Also, don't forget about our Wednesday night meals. Every Wednesday night until November the 2nd from 6 o'clock to 7 p.m. We continue to have a great turnout for them each week, about 48 or so, and it's been a wonderful time. Last week we had a hymn sing together, and it was fun just singing and getting together and leading some time of worship together downstairs as we fellowship with food. Also, just want to remind you guys about the congregational meeting right after the service today. It'll be about the homebound visitation members and getting that program started again, as well as talking about the parsonage and answering any other questions or concerns that you might have about the church. So if you're able to, please stay after the service. The meeting will be brief. Just some prayer concerns. We want to continue to be thinking about Rich Griffin's family. We had a great service here yesterday, and it was an amazing time of celebrating his life and a time of just worshiping together and just remembering Rich and the legacy that he left behind. But continue to keep the family in your prayers. Also, pray for Lynn McNaughton as she is recovering from knee surgery still, and she's at a rehab facility for that. We want to continue to pray for Jim Walk's wife, Darlene, as she deals with pancreatitis and issues with the pancreas. Also, the individuals that have been affected by Hurricane Ian as far as the cleanup goes, and many lives have been lost because of that powerful storm, so please keep them in your prayers as well. This morning we'll be having communion, and if you're at home watching, I encourage you to go to your kitchen and get a cup and a piece of cracker or bread that you can join us when that time comes this morning as we come to the Lord's table and we participate together with that. Let us pray together. Lord, we come before you now and we give you thanks and praise for who you are and what you're doing, for bringing us here in your house of worship today. We ask, God, that you would just take away all distractions, open our eyes, open our hearts, open our minds, open our ears, that your Spirit might fill us and speak to us today. Lord, we pray for your Spirit to fall fresh upon the communion that will be served today in the elements, Lord, and our offering, that you would bless that, God. And we come before you, God, and we just ask, Lord, that you would be pleased with our offering we give to you as we come and we sing songs of worship, of gratitude for all you have done for us. So God, we come now, we give you thanks, we give you praise, and we say, God, we are here because of you. Thank you, God, for all you've done for us. Amen. If you remember a few weeks ago, Steve went on a short trip, and at this time, Steve's going to share a little bit about his time on that trip. So Steve, if you want to come and share.
It was a good trip, and I thank the church for your prayers. I was working with a Moldovan charity called the Moldova Project, which works with vulnerable families in the villages of Moldova. And so they provide food support, but they also, instead of just handouts, try to work with the families in terms of there's mental issues or alcohol problems, try to give them therapy, and also work in providing if they need animals, goats, chickens, that type of thing, and help them to winterize the families. Because unfortunately, some of these families didn't even seem to have wood yet for the winter months that are coming up. So I went out in some of these visits, some scheduled visits with the staff, delivering food, and then they also do unplanned visits so that the families don't know they're coming. They can pop in and see how things are going. And, you know, with families having to work, unfortunately, children are left by themselves during the day. And I think it was more than one situation we encountered where it appeared as if the children were by themselves and didn't seem to have food. And this was like maybe 4 or 5 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon that we would do our visits. And unfortunately, the staff thought the children probably had very little or no food during the day. So just that type of thing, working with the families. The other thing the organization is doing currently is with the war going on in Ukraine, a lot of refugees have been coming over into Moldova. So the Moldova Project has been setting up playrooms in some of these refugee centers. Just gives the opportunity for the kids to get away, get to play a little bit, and for their parents maybe to have some time to themselves. And, you know, these stories are sad that you hear the refugees tell, and I'll just tell one story here. I think she's probably a 30-year-old woman. Anna relayed the story that she had come to Moldova with her small child. And in this refugee center, they just have a very small room that pretty much fits the two beds for she and her daughter. But her husband, of course, couldn't come because they have to stay in Ukraine, the males, and her parents didn't come also. So she just so wants to get back home. And, you know, when you listen to these stories, pretty much what I could tell her was, you know, I'd be praying for a reunion that she could have with her husband and family, and to kind of reassure her that Americans are praying for peace in the Ukraine. So, you know, these type of trips, when you come home, you're very thankful for what you do have in America. And, you know, I just keep thinking, you know, what more can I be doing? And I think an important thing that all of us can be doing in these situations is to be praying.
Thank you, Steve, so much for sharing. I'm glad that you made it back safely and had a good trip. So I want to invite you again to stand as we continue in our worship together. And the words to this song that I just love is, "No eyes has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind can know what God has in store." And I know He has great things in store for us here at this church and in our community. So we ask Holy Spirit to rain down upon us.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord, you deserve the glory and you are worthy of it all. That is why we are here today, because of you. Because we come and we pause and we say, God, you are worthy. We're not, but you are. So as we recognize that this morning, help us to be in your presence. Help us to come before you and say, God, here we are. All we have is yours. As we continue to bask in your presence. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, praise team. Wow, what a wonderful time of worship. I just wanted to keep singing. I didn't want to stop. That was amazing. So thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning in the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we come and we say, God, we're here because of you. So thank you for this morning, for giving of your time and leading us into God's presence. Let us pray together. God, we ask now, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight, oh God. Amen. There's a story of a pastor who went to visit an elderly member of his congregation, and they were blind. It was Christmas time, and when the pastor went to visit this member, he noticed that the member had a Christmas tree in their house, and that Christmas tree was brightly decorated and had tons of lights and ornaments. And as the pastor was taking in all these amazing decorations, he proceeded to ask the blind church member, did you decorate every year? And the member said, yes, it's one of the favorite times of year, and it's one of the times that I look for, because my nephew comes and we go shopping for a tree, we bring the tree back, and together we decorate the tree with lights and ornament. It's an amazing time and the most wonderful time of the year for me. Well, the pastor sat there and he scratched his head and he began to think to himself, and he couldn't help but ask this blind woman, I don't quite understand, why do you have a Christmas tree in your house that's so decorated with these lights, you have candles in your window, but yet you cannot see to enjoy them? Well, that church member then responded back to the pastor by saying, Pastor, not everyone is blind. When it comes to love, a lot of times we can be like the pastor in the story. We can struggle with loving others. We think we can kind of pick and choose who to show God's grace and mercy to, and that nobody will ever take notice of who we're loving and who we're not loving. However, like that pastor, we forget that not everyone is blind, and that people do take notice of how we live our lives and how we love each other. When I was a youth pastor, the one thing I learned really quickly was that teenagers will constantly watch every move you make. They want to know if you're real and genuine, that you just don't come and put on a smile and say, this is what you should do and how you should act and love God and love others. No, they are watching you even when you don't know they're watching you, because they want to make sure you're real. As a parent of three teenage boys, I experience that on a daily basis, that I can kind of see out of the corner of my eye that they're watching me and they're watching my behavior. They're watching whether or not I really am a real person, and that from Sunday morning so I'm at home, I'm the same person. They're watching my behavior. They're watching how I treat Melody. They're watching how I treat others. They're watching how I behave to circumstances, because they want to know, is my dad practicing what he preaches? Because they're not blind to what goes on. We can pretend that people don't see what goes on, but like my three teenage boys, people are watching and they take notice. They are not blind. They are truly seeing if we are walking our talk. That when we say we love God and that we love others, they're watching to see if we really mean it and put it into practice. You see, to say we love God and we love others is easy in theory, but it's really hard to do, as we talked about last week. The very first week of our sermon series on love, I tried to describe what love was by a definition. And if you remember, I couldn't do that because there are so many different ways to describe love and what love is. But this morning, as we get together, I want to give you one concept about love that you can walk away from. That if you remember nothing else from this sermon series on love, that you will remember this one concept. And that is this: that love remains, or that love never fails. We look at 1 Corinthians 13, the famous love chapter. We know that very well, don't we? It's a wonderful passage that is read at weddings. We could probably quote it by heart. It's a chapter we kind of glance over because, oh, we've heard it so many times before. But when you look at 1 Corinthians 13, it gives us that blueprint about how love remains. This morning, when we look at Paul writing this, Paul is telling us how amazing love is and how everything else in this life will fade away, but love will always remain. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 13. I'm not going to read the entire chapter. I'm actually going to jump down to verse 8 and conclude the chapter this morning. So if you will follow along with me as we go to 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 13. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in the part disappears. For when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put away the things of the childhood behind me. For now we see only reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall fully know, even as I am fully known. And now verse 13, which everything hinges upon. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Love never fails. Prophecy, tongues, knowledge, they will fade away, but love will always remain. You think about the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us: teaching, preaching, hospitality, prophesying, praying. Those gifts will fade away. Those gifts, as we change and we grow in a relationship with Jesus Christ, will change. Because as we're growing, we're changing, and we're developing new gifts of the Spirit. But love will always remain the same. No matter whether or not our spiritual gifts change, love is constant and is unchanging. And this is why Paul is writing, because the Corinthian church was relying heavily on their spiritual gifts to grow the church. They were relying heavily on their spiritual gifts to glorify God and to point others to Him. And Paul says, wait a second, you've missed the point. Your spiritual gifts are going to fade away. You're missing love. Everything hinges upon love. It doesn't matter if you're a great preacher, he says, or a great teacher. It doesn't matter if you're a great prayer. It doesn't matter if you're the best in hospitality, Paul says. If you have not love, you have not nothing. And Paul was reminding the church in Corinthians, saying, look, everything else is great, but you're focusing on those things, and you should be focusing on love, focusing more on that and loving each other. You see, Paul knew the truth. You cannot grow a church. You cannot point other people to Jesus. You cannot use your spiritual gifts correctly if you do not have love and you're not practicing it. Think about this morning for a second. What are the things that we put too much emphasis on in our current church culture? I'm not talking about the culture abroad. I'm talking about church culture. What are the things that we focus on so much, our time and our energy, that gives all of our focus to it, that we might be missing the one thing that's overlooked, and that's love? That we focus on all these other details in church culture that are going to pass away and don't matter, and we don't focus on the one concept of love, loving others, loving God. And that's the question that Paul asked this morning, is what is keeping us from loving God and from loving others. You see, at times we try to be all things to all people, that we don't focus on love. We don't want to offend people, so we don't focus on love, because in our minds we're trying to think about our behavior. In our minds we're trying to think about what we're going to say next and how that might come across. We focus on that political correctness in the church. We focus on programs and ministries, that we forget that it all comes down to loving God and loving others. That love remains the same. Programs in church will change and fade away, but love will remain and never fade away. If we truly love God and love others as ourselves, we wouldn't be talking about the United Methodist Church and General Conference the way we have been the last several years. If we truly love God and others as ourselves, we wouldn't hold on to things so tightly. We wouldn't hold on to our possessions and our money so tightly if we were focused on love and the permanence of love. That if we were focused on love and how love is constant and remains and never fails, imagine what God can do here at our church and our ministries. Imagine the fact that we might not have a budget problem, or we might not have a problem of figuring out what to do with the resources God's given to us, because we're focused on love, loving God, loving others, and focusing on that aspect of things instead of everything else around us that will fade away and won't matter. Those things that we love the most in our lives get the most of our attention, of our time, and our money. It's interesting when you talk to individuals and you'll say, well, are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. They'll say, well, you know, I haven't been in church for a long time. Or, you know, just, I'm a Christian. I go to church every so often. Did you realize that the new statistics that are out there for a person that says they go to church, to be considered a person that goes to church regularly, is that you attend once a month? That is the new statistics out there, that people consider themselves a regular church member if they go to church at least one time a month. But they have time for everything else in their lives. They have time to do whatever they want to do and fit all those things in, but to only go to church one time a month. It shows us where our love is, where our commitment is, what our priority is, focusing on things that will fade away instead of giving our love to the church by serving it with our talent, our gifts, our service, and our money, and building up God's kingdom. We make time for so many things that are not important, that will fade away, but yet love remains, and we don't make time for that. If you remember, we were talking about in our last sermon series, as we were developing the mission and the vision of our church, that I asked the question, what is it that we want our legacy to be as individuals and as this church? And you can't answer that question unless you really take an evaluation at your life and you look at the things that you love the most in life. By looking at the things you love the most in life will determine what your legacy is when you are no longer here. It will determine the legacy of this church. Whether we're investing in the things of this world or investing in God's kingdom. What is it that we truly love? If we truly love God and others, then it'll be easy for us to do the things that God's called us to get involved in church, to give to the church, to do the things that come second nature to us, that we won't have to think about it. We'll just say, we'll do it, because that's who we are, because we're so concerned about love and loving others and loving God that everything becomes second nature, that we don't have to go, well, let me check my calendar and see if I'm free, or, well, you know, get me next time and I'll be there to help with that. If we're loving God and loving others and focusing on love and the permanence of love and the impact that it has on people's lives, serving and giving will be second nature to us, because it'll just come out of us. We won't have to think about it. We'll just do it. Do we feel that our possessions and status of life are more important than those people around us by investing in them? You see, when you go back to the first part of 1 Corinthians, and as we finish the chapter here, Paul's talking about how we need to look ourselves in the mirror. And we really need to ask ourselves that hard question. Am I investing in things eternal or things that are temporary? We have to ask ourselves the question, what really matters in life? And that is what Paul is saying here in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 9 through 12. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what's in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, but when I became a man, the childhood was behind me. For I only see a reflection in the mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know a part, and I am fully known. Paul compares how we see our reflection in the mirror of the fact that these things are going to pass away. That every day we look in the mirror, we are reminded that life is short and that we are going to pass away as well. That when Paul was writing this here, he was saying about mirrors and using this analogy because in Corinth, they were known for their famous polished metal mirrors. The best mirrors you can find in the world. They were available at that day and age, and people came to Corinth because they wanted to have the best mirror in their house. And as a result, when they looked into that mirror, it gave off a distorted image of them. That when they looked in the mirror, it wasn't an exact clear image. And that's what Paul is saying here. That when we look in the mirror, are we seeing a clear image of who we are? Or are we seeing a distorted image of who we would like to be? When we see and understand that dim reflection of a divine reality, it goes to the understatement of knowing that how we spend our time and how we spend treating others and loving others is a reflection on us and our entire life. But not only that, it's a reflection on God. That when we call ourselves Christians, people will see whether or not God is truly love or not. We can go around and say, God is love and God cares for you. But when people look at us and they see us in those mirrors, they're going to say, well, if God's love and God loves me, then why are you behaving the way you're behaving? Why are you focusing all your time and your energy into things that don't matter? If God truly is love and loves me, then why do I see you living the way you are? You see, people won't believe that God is love unless we model it. God revealed himself to us through his word. God revealed himself and his love to us through scripture. And 1 Corinthians 13:13 reminds us that faith and hope and love, they're great. But love is the greatest one of these things. It's great to have faith. It's great to have hope. But if you don't have love, it doesn't really matter. Paul says love remains. Why? Why does love remain? Because of who God is. God is love. Love is the basic character of God, and therefore God shows us what love is. And because God is eternal, love is eternal, and love will always remain. Love will go past any other basic character of who God is, for God is love. You can talk about he's all-knowing, all-powerful. You can talk about how he's everywhere all the time. But when the basic character of God comes down to it, the core of things, it's all about love and how God loved us and how God's love remains. 1 John 4:8 says, whoever does not know God, because God is love. So if we don't love, it's saying we don't know who God is. We can go around and say, I love God and I'm a Christian. But John here, 1 John says, if we don't love, then we don't know God. The two don't go together. Because God is love, and if we love God, then we will love others. The reality brings us back to the sharp focus, the command that Christ called us to, the greatest commandment. A new command I give to you, to love others as you love yourself. What is the greatest commandment, Jesus has asked? To love God with your whole heart, your soul, and your mind. To love others as yourself. Love is one of the most powerful forces you will find in this entire world. It's amazing how love can diffuse situations. It's amazing that when you begin to show love to people, how their behavior changes. It's amazing when you choose love over hate. when you choose love over selfishness, that when you choose love over everything else this world says is correct, it's amazing the difference that can occur in one's life. Has love and the power of love ever impacted your life? Where have you seen redemption and forgiveness and compassion in your life? And how do you love others? You see, if love is what really matters, then we need to spend more time and energy on that. We need to make sure our priorities are where they are supposed to be at. We need to look at ourselves and ask, are we investing in the things of this world, or are we investing in things eternal, like love that will never fade away? Because what we see here is only a distorted reflection of divine reality, that when we walk by faith and not by sight, it's an example of following Jesus. But in walking by faith, it also means that we have to walk in love. There's a story of a girl who was in a Boston mental institution. And she was locked downstairs in the basement in what they called the dungeon. The doctors had felt that she was without hope and was so mentally far gone that they actually put her in a cage. And she was living in a cage that received very little light down in that basement. The doctors said she's hopeless, that she will always be this way. And then there was a retired nurse, and this retired nurse felt called to go visit this young girl, and she felt that there is always hope for anybody, that nobody is hopeless. And so she went down and she visited the young girl, and the first visit she was ignored by the young girl, and she went back the next week, but this time she bought brownies, and she left the brownies there at the cage. The girl didn't eat the brownies at that time. She walked away, and she came back, and she had seen that the girl had actually taken the brownies in the cage and eaten them. So she kept bringing brownies back, and she kept just trying to be there for this girl. The young girl finally responded to this love that this young nurse was giving her to show her she mattered and she was important. And soon, the doctors began to see a dramatic shift taking place in this girl's life, that they actually moved her from the basement and put her on a regular floor with the rest of the patients. The nurse continued to visit and finally came to a day where the doctor said, you know what? You don't need to be here anymore. You can go home. We're discharging you. But that girl said, no, I don't want to go home. And that girl said, I want to stay here so that I can help others the way that nurse came and showed me love and compassion. I want to do the same thing. Do you know who that young girl's name was? Ann Sullivan. Ann Sullivan, who one day had the opportunity to teach Helen Keller how to communicate to the rest of the world that she could not hear. Love is so powerful that it can change people's lives if we give it the time that it deserves. Love God with our whole heart, soul, and mind, and love others as yourself. Very simple instructions, difficult to do. So how do we respond to it? As we go this week from our time of worship, I think we should all, myself included, look at where do we spend our time, our energy, our attention, our money. Does it align with the things that we say we love if we really say we love God? Does it align with loving God first and foremost and loving others? Or does it align with other things in this world that are going to pass away because they will not remain? And how is it that we can bring love more clearly into alignment with our time and our energy and our money? And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Love. God is love. For God sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God is love, that yet while we were yet sinners, Christ loved us and walked amongst us. Today, as we come to the communion table and we are reminded about God's love for us, let us not just celebrate that love God has for us, let us take that love outside of these walls and share it with others. For Christ didn't have to die. He was perfect, did nothing wrong. Pilate even said that, "I find no fault with this man." But he went to the cross because he loved us. Because love never fails. And his body was broken on that cross for you and for me so that we didn't have to take the punishment that we deserved. His blood was shed for you and for me. The perfect sacrifice to forgive us our sins so that we can be called the children of God. Because love never fails. Love will always continue on. We are here today because of God's love for us. The love that existed in creation, Genesis chapter 1, the love that existed in the Old Testament, the love that existed when Jesus walked the earth, when he ascended to heaven, the love of Paul was present there, the apostles, all the way to here today, that God's love never fails. It's always here, always consistent, never, ever goes anywhere. That's what love is. This morning as we come and we take communion, I invite you to celebrate the sacrifice Christ made for us, but also to go and to practice that same love to others. Owen and Tyler, if you guys would come forward this morning. We have an open table in United Methodist Church. You do not have to be a member of this church to come to partake of communion. Because God's table is open to all. God's love is for everybody. As you come forward this morning, if you're able to, just come and take a cup and go back to your seat, and I'll give you instructions. If you're on this side, I would ask that you come down the middle here and take from Tyler and then go back down that side. If you're on this side, come up, take from Owen and go down the other side. At this time, come this morning. Come as the Spirit leads you. Come and partake in God's love. If you're at home watching at this time, if you would like to get your cup and your element to join with us in communion. For those that are using these for the first time, the wafer is on the very top layer, and then there is a side for the grape juice. If you would pull back the layer for your wafer at this time. The night that he was betrayed, he gave thanks, passed the bread, and he said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Take and eat." And at the same meal, he passed the cup. And he said, "This is my blood, the new covenant. Take and drink for the forgiveness of your sins." Let us take and drink. Lord, we come now and we give you thanks for being able to come to your table and be fed. Thank you for your grace and your love and your mercy on us each and every day. And help us to continue to live in that grace and that mercy. Amen. And let us continue this morning as we close out with our closing hymn. If you would stand this morning as we continue to worship. If you're visiting with us this morning, we hope you enjoyed your time of worship with us and that you'll come back next week and join us. As we go, let us live in that amazing love, the love that we scratch our heads and say, how can God love me? But God says, that's what's so amazing about love, that I love you just the way you are. Let us live in that love. Let us love God with our whole heart, soul, and mind, and love others as ourselves. And let us just remember how amazing love is. May the grace and peace of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit go with you now forevermore. Amen and amen. Have a blessed week.